Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. What a beautiful, beautiful day. But I have breaking news. Breaking news. I have breaking news. Fenton Bowen, the undercover agent for Whirlpool Corporation, is trying to destroy our children. The boiler at the high school is broken. And he voted no to repairs, and the winter is coming. Where will our children get heat to warm their little bitty bodies? He voted no to repair the boiler at the high school for our children. And he's being recalled because he do not support the residents of Benton Harbor. He's an ally of Whirlpool Corporation. He has been working with them against the community. That's right. Trenton Bowen. He has no business being on anybody's school board. Number one, he's not qualified. Number two, his lifestyle. He is not qualified to be on anybody's school board. I know I wouldn't allow my children, my grandchildren, or anyone to attend that school as long as he's on that school board. Now what he's trying to do is make sure that the students, our children, do not have heat during the winter. That's right. This guy, Trenton Bowen, that's why he's being recalled. So you guys, people out there, let's get ready to get him. We have to protect our children at all times. There's nothing more important than our children. Nothing. No matter what. There's nothing more important than our children. That's what we build upon. We build upon our children. Our children have to have a foundation so they are allowed to grow. So that's why Trenton Bowen is being recalled. You see, they're going to protect him. You see, you got Sharon Tyler over there, one of the most racist white women in the whole nation. You got Judge Mayfield, one of the Sambo. She was nominated for the Sambo of the Year. And also you have Lori Phelan. I don't know how she got on that election board. But I feel like there's something that they're trying to control our elections and put people they want in office. This is what they're doing. So we are going to have to be aware of what's going on, be more conscious of what's happening today. Trenton Bowen, he's nothing, but he was elected to the school board. When I say nothing, I mean exactly that. He's a nothing. And he's been, because Whirlpool wanted him on that school board. They get on that school board who they want to destroy our children and our community. Just like Marcus Muhammad. He's an embarrassment to the Nation of Islam. He's an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment to Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he's an embarrassment for hanging out with this guy Trenton Bowen, which the minister probably knows nothing about. It's amazing how black people let people come in and destroy their children, then cry how much they love them. How much do you love your children? And you're allowing people to come in and destroy them. How much do you love your children? You know, parents need to make sure their children are healthy and safe. Equip them with the skills and the resources to succeed as adults, and transmit basic culture values to them. Parents offer their children love, acceptance, appreciation, encouragement, guidance. Children are a blessing to parents, but child care is something that many parents struggle with. As a parent, you need to make sure that your child is taken care of and safe, and not a safe environment for them to both know to repair the boiler at the hospital to provide heat for our children is a problem. That's very problematic right there. And we need to sit down and analyze this, because it do not make any sense for us to allow people to come in and mistreat our children, because white folks want them to be mistreated. It does not make any sense at all for our children to have to suffer. It don't make sense. See, nobody is free until everybody is free. That's right. Nobody is free until everybody is free. Yeah, this is breaking news. You got a guy on the school board who voted no to provide heat for our students. He'd rather see them cold and not coming to school, because here's the reason. Whirlpool Corporation wants to tear down the high school and put up a gated community. They want that water that, you know, white folks love water. They love that water. And what they want to do, they want to tear the high school down, all that land from Empire all the way down to Britain on that side. They want to put a gated community there. But they'd rather see our children suffering with no heat, so they can tear down the high school. I know most of you out there is not going to say a word. I know you're not, because that's your MO. You don't say anything that's going to help any situation. You sit back and watch, and then you complain. That's what you do. You sit back and watch. Watch these devils destroy our children. And after our children are destroyed, you cry like a baby. You complain like a baby to nobody. You claim you love your children. Act like it. Act like you love your children. Because right now, I'm not sure what you do, or what you like, or what you care about. I'm not sure. It's unfortunate that black people have allowed things to get this bad and do nothing about it. That's our history. See, I'm not letting nobody disrespect my black brothers and sisters. I am not allowing anyone to disrespect my brothers and sisters. I don't care what they say or what they think. I care less. But you're not going to disrespect my brothers and sisters. That is not going to happen. I'm not going to allow you to. I'm going to and look, I'm not trying to win no popularity contest with you guys, because I know you'll like me today but hate me tomorrow, especially if I can't do what you need done. Or I won't do what you need done. I know how you are, so don't, you know, I would prefer you don't like me. Let me stand alone. Because I got people all around the world who support me, you see. And I don't want these people from Benton Harbor supporting me, because they'll turn on you in a minute. But you better get out here and take care of your children. And this is breaking news. Breaking news. Trenton Bourne. A recall petition has been put in place to recall him. So you people out there, if you love your children, you'll sign that petition and get him out of here. If you love your children, sign the petition to recall Trenton Bourne. He's an ally of Whirlpool Corporation who have destroyed this community. They always have a plant inside the house, high school, working for them, with them, against the people of Benton Harbor. That's right. They always have a plant. Tony Bowen is a plant. He's like Marcus Muhammad. They work together against the people here in Benton Harbor. They, you know, they basically the same people, you know. But I, you know what, I want to commend Marcus Muhammad White for putting up with him. Someone said that he has a baby on the way. I don't know, they say she's 16, 17, maybe 18. I don't know her true age, but they said that the girl that's pregnant by him is just a baby. That's what God, I don't care if she's 25, she's still a baby compared to him, but he's almost 50. I want to commend his wife. She's still sticking with him because she's a Muslim. And she told the world. She said she's a single parent. She said, she told him, I ain't got nothing here. She told people that he was nothing. She said it. He's nothing. I knew he was, you know, after a while, first I thought he was okay. Then I had to go to the minister on him a couple of times. Minister straightened him out once or twice. Then he broke loose from the minister and wanted to hang out with Upton and the governor because they needed him to help control and kill off the black population in Benton Harbor. You see, I was hurt by this because I thought sure by him being a Muslim brother that he would do the right thing. He had failed this community. Even with the water situation, he tried to come up with something to make him feel better. It didn't work. He knew the water was contaminated. They told him, they put it in writing, that the water was contaminated. Save the children, they were saying. But he said no. He said the water was drinkable. Knowing that the water was not drinkable. Him and that Trenton Bowen, they're a combination, you see. They're a combination that nobody wants to talk about, you see. They're that way, you see. But what we have to do, we have to make sure we're doing everything we need to do to make things happen, you see. Protect our children. And I'm not going to let anyone disrespect my black brothers and sisters, not even black folks, not even what we call Sambos, not even what we call bootlickers, not even what we call butt kissers, not even what we call buck dancing Sambos. You know, when you think of Marcus Muhammad, and you think of Trenton Bowen, two Sambos, two buck gassing, boot licking, butt kissing. That's what they do. And it's important because nowhere can we sit down and talk about anything but our children and building a foundation. If you're not for our children, we need to know. And that's why it's important that we recall Trenton Bowen, and then let's get Marcus in November at the election. Let's get ourselves ready for it. Let's get ourselves all psyched up for it. Tell your friends, tell your cousins, tell everybody, you know, even the ones that probably went to school with him and all that kind of stuff. Let's get ourselves together and make things happen. That is something we can do. We have to make sure that we're taking care of our children. Our children don't deserve this. They don't deserve the mistreatment. You know, Whirlpool planted someone in the high school 30 years ago, and they keep bringing people in. and keep bringing people in to make sure that our children don't get a good education. They're doing everything in their power to enhance the failure of our children on the educational level. They're doing every single thing in their power to make sure that our children do not get a good education and give them the opportunity to be out here running wild. You see, that's the plan. That's when we lose everything. We allow them to do this to our community. You see, and that's why things are going the way they are. It amazed me how we let it go by. It's amazed me how we allow these people to do what they do to our children. It's amazing. But we still keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. We keep doing it. And we always right there. I'm not letting nobody disrespect my brother. I don't care who you are. You see, when they invited me to the White House, I turned them down if they wasn't paying my way. If you're not going to put up the money for me to come there, that means you don't want me to come. Cornell University, I'm going there to speak. Princeton, Harvard, the University of California at Berkeley. They want to, and they paying the way. I'm not paying, spending one dime, not one single penny, to go to the White House. Because there's nobody there I want to meet. There's nobody there I want to be with. I have no intention, none, no intention, not one kilowatt of being impressed by being invited to the White House. That's meaningless to me. That's worthless. You know, I'm not going there. I don't care who's in there. I wouldn't even go there if Obama was there, unless he's paying my way. I'm not spending my money to be with someone who just wants to take a picture. I just want to probably take a picture with me. But it's so important that we get our act together. See, black people are still suffering from the sins of white folks, the white parents, the white people today. Black people are still suffering. You know, and it amazes me. There are so many ways to turn someone to betray their community, their black brothers and sisters, money, ideology. Compromise. And the biggest one is ego. You got these guys walking, come on, white folks like you. Where do you get that from? Where do you get white folks like you at? White folks are never like you. They don't want to, if they can help, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. Remember, they rape the black brothers and sisters. They raped them. And never were penalized. They hung them because they was property. You see, that's the reason all this happened. Black people was only property. They even raped the little children. They didn't care about nothing because they was property. Nobody went to jail for this. The women got raped anytime they felt like. The men got raped anytime they felt like. The little children got raped anytime they felt like it. These white devils was all over these people. Unbelievable. We're in a crisis. But the breaking news of the day, Trenton Bowen, one of Whirlpool allies, is being recalled. They're going to fight. Them white folks going to line up behind them. They're going to fight because they need them. You know, them white devils, they know who they need and who they don't need. And they're going to continue doing the same thing over and over and over again. On this note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, and she's going to tell us about the Davis Brothers. She's going to tell us what's really going on. We're going to talk about other things too, you know? We're going to make sure that we're doing whatever we need. Absolutely. We're just trying to make it happen and do what needs to be done and make sure that we're doing everything that we need. And it's going to happen whether we like it or not. So let's do what we need to do and make sure that we're on top of everything and see where we at. Because this is so, so important. And we got to continue, though. We got to do what's right. All right, talk to me, Annette. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Wow. What's going on in my world is what's going on in the world. And I can never stress enough, this is such a powerful time, and the windows are open, and it's going to pour out blessings that we won't have room to receive, and we want everybody to be in position. We need everyone in position. And again, one of the things that I can never stress enough is that it is not my way, and it is not my will, but it's the will and the way of the Father. And he says it's only one way. And please, I am only asking the people who are, again, a part of the legacy churches. In Deuteronomy, God said he's going to give us more than he even gave our forefathers. And when you Google, everybody, please get your paper and pen, because we have so much exciting information that we want to share. And that is why I sound like this with the pollen and talking to everybody in all the different cities. Again, this is a global thing. It is generating out of, again, the income tax number that I filed into the federal court, and please write this case number down, because this is the whistleblower. This is the whistleblower lawsuit that was filed in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay, now, what you want to do is put U.S. District Court, District of Nevada, any Las Vegas. Want to write this down? Okay. Case number 2:15, C as in Charlie, V as in Victor, 01839. Again, that's U.S. District Court, District, Nevada, Las Vegas. That case number is 2:15, C as in Charlie, V as in Victor, 01839. Now, you want to also, make sure you go on Facebook and go to Blow the Whistle. You want to go to Blow the Whistle. You want to become to be a whistleblower. And you will see different dates. And Reverend Pinckney, when we do what we call the phone protest, the phone protest is where we're going to give you a hot number. This is a hot number, whether it's to these judges that are holding up the Black Farmers' Wealth, the Davis Brother Heirs, the, again, the people who have lived in housing and in HUD, along with other the Facebook, you're going to see where Facebook in 2015, that's what the colon, two colon, that was 2015 that this was filed. We have a $750 million, this is a whistleblower lawsuit, that's with Facebook. Again, we need to know what all of our rights are, and when we start actually knowing what our rights are, we can fight for our rights. But then when we are organized in such a way that we're fighting as a unit and not being divided, that's how they have conquered us. When we start being united, that's how we stand. And our voices are heard. It's not just about going to a ballot box. It's not about really just voting, because we don't care who's in office, because you're going to do what we say do by the time we finish calling you. I mean, when we have phone hotline and we're blowing the whistles, again, we want people to also go, please write this down. Write this down. This is very important. Whistleblower, the whistleblower program. Write that down. Google that. Whistleblower program. It's going to give you your rights, your protection. It's going to also explain to you about how whistleblower work. It's going to also be government money. This is not just, again, settlement money, because we're going to be getting settlement money. But because it's a whistleblower lawsuit and we're blowing the whistle, anyone can be able to participate and be a whistleblower. A whistleblower is someone who's standing up for right and speaking against the corruption, and is really being a real Christian. It's really being a real Christian, because they know the retaliation that whistleblowers face for standing up and speaking the truth. Again, all of this is written in the Bible. Jesus told us that we're going to be persecuted and prosecuted for his name's sake. So, again, what we're doing, these are biblical principles. Now, when we say go to your grandparents and your great-grandparents, wherever that church, wherever those churches are, try to find the pastors that are out at these churches, and pastors, it is a vital role that you're going to be playing, because we're getting ready to start sending to your church everyone whose name is written into the Lamb Book of Life. So what we need everybody to do, every church to do, every black HBCU, what we need everybody to do is to find your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Go to those churches. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Repent and change from your wicked way. Now, again, when you judge your own self, God is your God, and he judges you. And whatever he condemns you, you hearken unto his voice. This way you know you are listening not to no one around you who want to judge you, but you will be listening to what God is telling you to do. And when you hearken unto his voice, you repent, change from your wicked ways, confess that Jesus is Lord, your Savior. Now, again, you do not have to do this for Annette. This is the way that the truth and the light that is set up through the doctrine of my faith, which is Baptist. We are New Prosperity Baptist Church, Clay, Louisiana, celebrating 135 years. So this is the model that I'm using, my own family, my own research, and we're not even halfway through. But that's why we need all family members to come on and let your family know we need to come together because, again, these are family businesses. When you are a business, you operate as a business, and each family member has one voice, one vote. So, again, you're going to be held to these standards. You need to know Robert's Rules of Order. They need to be properly practiced within the family. That way, you're going to be in accordance with, again, you will be going through IRS because we're talking over $50 trillion that's getting ready to be dispersed. That is going to be monthly royalties. This is every month you will be getting a royalty that is coming from your inheritance from your forefathers and your foremothers. So if you don't understand, and I know it is complicated, I know it is massive, but he said it is written, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So you got to figure out if you've been last, and if so, you need to move to your position. I'm just saying, and if you've been last, you just need to move to your position. So again, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, you know, I'm always looking out for you. You're my girl. We got to make sure everything is good. We'll talk soon. Let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Tams. Talk to me, Doc.
Thank you, Honorable Rev. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. Yeah, what a bombshell that just happened on Sunday in the Free Press of Detroit News, where the Arab dean of the medical school called Wair Lasaka, who was appointed by a black Hawaiian Japanese guy named Roy Wilson. And I said all those names and titles because what happens is when people who are mixed, when they get in trouble, they're black. When they're doing good, they're another race. And then when they're really doing real good, they're a different race. And so he had that lineage. But what he did 2 years ago almost is that he placed a guy in position to be the dean of over the whole medical school in Detroit of Wayne State with a known history of being racist towards African Americans, blacks, or descendants of enslaved Africans. That was protested by Dr. Nita Moncrief and a group and brought to the Board of Governors' attention of this guy's track record where he did not allow blacks in his Department of Pathology, even though one of the greatest students who came through the program, their poster child, he did not accept that gentleman to be a part of the staff at the medical school. Then two sisters had went through, and they were actually black sisters, but they were also blood-related sisters at different times. He treated them derogatory just the same. So then in his department, you don't find any blacks who are descendants of enslaved Africans or what we call African-Americans, whatever. And so he winds up being appointed dean. And so when he goes in there, he starts trying to intimidate blacks, and then he starts to remove blacks and replace them with Arabs. And he was getting away with it because what my grandpa said, you have black people who are very ignorant and intelligent. So you have intelligent, ignorant people. And that's what you're going to find in your politicians and your clergy and all these individuals, that they make it say there's some book information, stuff like that, but they're ignorant. No common sense. They don't stand up for their race. They do things to cause the annihilation of their race. So this guy, I dealt with personally, and his problem with me is that I am African-based, Egyptian-based, Quranic-based, pre-slavery mentality-based, and he had a problem with that. And one of the former Jewish deans told him, you got to come to me as an equal, as a brother, you know. But what people fail to not realize, and that's being pointed out now, is that the Arabs, your Ashalam Aleikum, your Kefah, your Baklava, your Bean Pie, those individuals did not end slavery. Slavery is still going on in Arab countries as of May 1st, 2023. You can check the Global Slavery Index. Global Slavery Index. And there are other indicators, Mark, that track the slavery as well that you can look and see. If you go to my Facebook site, you'll see that, Pastor Times. And this is where we are. So the Arab population, the Indian population, that's the psyche that they have, that you're nothing but a slave, that, you know, that you're less than. And so that's why when they're in the stores in your neighborhood, the gas stations in your neighborhoods, but you have to understand that they're only there because whites, European Americans, did not want you owning businesses, did not want you having ownership, and that's why they restricted us from becoming those business owners for our old neighborhood. So that was by design. That was by design. So I wanted to give you his background, but we're talking about the field of medicine, which is supposed to be one of the highest fields, because all you have is the doctor, then you have the politician and the lawyer, all of that. But the doctor is supposed to be the highest. And that's, of course, going to be the most racist. And when you talk about medicine, 1790 immigration law, did you hear what I just said? 1790 immigration law made sure that only white immigrants could be citizens and benefit from the riches of the United States. The African, the black, was not entitled. But let's look at something else. Let's look at the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States is the most major doctrine of white affirmative action. So when you talk white affirmative action, you're talking the United States Constitution, and you can also probably throw in the Bill of Rights as well. So let's talk affirmative action. They want to talk about affirmative action? Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about the white affirmative action that says all that we, the white people, are indivisible under one nation. That's we, the white people. Black people were considered property. Black people were considered on the same level as horses, sheep, and cattle. That's why they called it cattle slavery, because we were on that same level. And some people want to play games with the numbers. What we know by the white Dow anti-slavery, the book anti-slavery, that over 100 million Africans were brought to North America, and at the end of slavery, there were only 25 million left. Some people want to use smaller numbers because, well, just look at the ones that were identified as human. No, they were not identified as human. So when you go from the 1500s through the 1600s through the 1700s through the 1800s, you don't look for human beings. You look for cargo. You look at the ship manifesto of what left the Congo, what left West Africa, what left the area of Sierra Leone and Ghana, and what left there and what arrived on the United States port or British port. And the cargo number that you have, if you have 1,000 keys, 1,000 Moors, 1,000, the term that they use, that property, and then you only make it to the shore of America, and it says that you have 700 of your original cargo, you done lost 300 of your cargo. That was 300 lives. That was 300 Africans. And initially, it was all male slaves, and it was only at the late part of slavery that they started kidnapping the women. So we have to make sure that's correct. And in the late 1800s parts, that's also when they started putting black against black, one tribe against one tribe. Look, we'll leave you alone if you help us capture these. We'll leave, and this woman said, the Portuguese say, look, if you help me capture these, then I'll help you. Then the French would tell this other group, if you help me capture these, I'll take them. Then you have the Spanish say, if you help me capture those, then I'll capture. So they had us fighting against us until our Queen Azinga and others said, enough is enough. We have a common enemy. And down even in South Africa, Chaka Zulu warned them that this white sparrow, this little sparrow, would come there to destroy him. I mean, to destroy South Africa. And the black Negroes, brothers of Chaka Zulu, sold them out to the white man, just like the Hebrew pastors, the black Hebrew pastors, sold out Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, to the white man of Pontius Pilate and Herod, had him crucified. So we've been doing this same mistake now for some thousands of years. So we're in this time period where white privilege says only white people from Europe are human beings and Africans are not. And so they put a constitution together that says that, you know, that these things are not for humans, but they're three-fifths human. And therefore, in the Constitution, you are listed as three-fifths human. And then later on, as property, unique property, they had a three-fifths compromise that said for every five slaves you had, that should be entitled to three votes. And in terms of House seats in the House of Representatives. And that's why they be wanting the black vote. That's why Donald Trump is saying, no, y'all counting black people wrong. Take five black people to make three votes. It's not one man, one vote. But he forgot the Voting Rights Act. That's what it was all about, and that's what they're trying to overturn, to go back to being three-fifths human, therefore five black people for three votes. So you got the white affirmative action, and you came back, white affirmative action says that if you go to prison, you are reestablished in slave status. So every brother, every sister, every uncle, every aunt who have been to prison is now reclassified as a slave. And that's your 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment did not end slavery. It only ended slavery for those who were able to maintain work and have a residence and not be under the vagrant law, because it had vagrancy as a federal offense that would send you to prison to work the chain gang. So just understand, once they freed you from off the plantation, you couldn't go back home. You didn't have a ship to go back to Africa. You had forgot what tribe you were from. Therefore, you had to wander the land, and they created what was called vagrancy laws that could lock you up and have you work chain gangs, go to jail or go to prison. And therefore, if that state just didn't have a jail system, a chain gang, but a federal prison chain gang, if they sent you to the federal prison chain gang to work to make roads and the farmland, now you are reclassified as a slave. And so today, any black in prison, according to the law, is a slave. Everybody coming out of prison, I don't know, once you come out, I don't know if you lose your slave status, but definitely when you're in prison, according to the 13th Amendment. So the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment only apply to descendants of enslaved Africans. These Negroes now, whether they LB and HYZ and Asian and Hispanic, none of those bastards or BITs have a damn thing to do with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. They, AWS, were not here. They were not here. So when they start talking those amendments, no, that amendment doesn't apply to you. Tell me how many of you have been hanged for the color of your skin. Tell me how many of you are hanged for the texture of your hair. Tell me how many of you are hanged for the shape of your lips. So don't talk that we're equal, because you were not allowed in here until after 1968, the year of hate. So in our Constitution, now let's go up. So now we're in the 1700. Now we have the 1790 law. Then we also have the 1710 law, which the Casual Killing Act, because the white women, after they would rape the African slave man, make him have sex with her, and then when she regret, beat him to death, that it got so bad that they had to come up with the Casual Killing Act. Look it up, Casual Killing Act, to protect the white woman from going to jail for destruction of property. Not taking a life, but to protect the white woman going to jail for destruction of property by killing that female slave or that black slave. So we got that white affirmative action that they could kill without any retribution. Then we get to, 1845. So 1845, a group of whites get together, about 250 of them, in New York, called the Medical Association. They come together and say, you know, we need to organize to protect ourselves and protect this profession. So they organize what's called the American Medical Association. American Medical Association. And so then a guy named Dr. Davis started off, Nathan Davis. Then after that, because they knew down the road that there was pressure to start freeing black people. 1845. 1857, Dred Scott goes to the Supreme Court and says, look, we done fought your Civil War. We done worked your land with our hands. And should I not be considered a man? Should I not be considered a human being? And the Dred Scott decision of the Supreme Court of the United States, one of the greatest white affirmative action laws, said, hell to the no. It said that, when you read it, that a white man has no laws that a white man has to honor or listen to, obey, respect any laws pertaining to a black man. That there was nothing that a black man had could say that a white man was bound or honored by. Dred Scott decision, that white affirmative action, that black people cannot say anything, do anything that warrants the consideration or respect of a white man. Federal Supreme Court, D-R-E-D, Dred Scott decision. So that's 1857. Mm-hmm. So guess what happens? The North is losing the war. Lincoln's losing the war. So his general gets together and says, look, we got to do that African leader Hannibal technique. We got to have people on the inside of the on the southern side, that we need to have them on the Confederate side turn against them, and that they have an internal fight from themselves to stabilize to help us out. because we're getting our butts kicked because they got the money, they got the wealth, they got, they're selling cotton, they're selling vegetables, they're selling fruit, and they're buying guns, they're buying bullets, and they're out shooting us, they're out cannoning us, so we have to do a different strategy. So the strategy was that if we don't free the slaves in the North, but if we free the slaves in the South, and they don't know any better, they're just going to think they free, that they're going to start rebellion and fighting. And when they turn their guns away from us in the North and start fighting amongst themselves, then we can swoop in. So it was a military decision, and Abraham Lincoln wrote, if I could not end slavery and save the Union, I would. And that slaves or Appalachians should not be integrated or be a part of full American society. Abraham Lincoln. That y'all be loving. That was go by his words. So go and read his words. So the military movement, the military attack, was the 1965 Emancipation Proclamation that started in 1862, then got approved 1863, and then got fully implemented until 1865 when Gordon Granger hit Texas and started the whole Juneteenth. But guess what happened? The Michigan State Medical Society, I forgot what state we live in, but Michigan State Medical Society on June 5th created another white affirmative action organization called the Michigan State Medical Society and said, no blacks allowed. But what I didn't want to tell you earlier was that in 1845, the American Medical Association was done to keep blacks out. But in Wayne County, Michigan, they created a county medical society in 1849 that was white affirmative action, no niggas allowed, no niggas allowed. That was 1849, and then in 1866, on the state level, they did the Michigan State Medical Society. Mm-hmm. And then in 1895, for enough black doctors to have went over in Europe and got trained to create the National Medical Association, which is where the black doctors are still are today. Mm-hmm. So in the medical profession, we have never had them caring and loving for us. In 1889, 2.6% of all the doctors in the United States, 2.6% were all black male. 2.6% out of 100%. Then in 1989, 100 years later, 1989, they looked, the number went up to 2.7%, with 16% being women, but now they added minorities. So it was all black at one time at 2.6%. Now it's 2.7% with American Indians who were slave owners and slave traders and bounty hunters who would run down and track the slaves.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit Cherokee. Oh, yeah, I think I got me some Choctaw. Oh, yeah.
All of those five civilized tribes were considered civilized if they would treat Africans as slaves, sell them and trade them as slaves. And those bastards, yes, I can call them bastards because I also have Native American blood and grew up as a Native American for the first 6 years of my life, that those bastards now went to classify Native red, brown, and freedmen. Red, brown, freedmen. So the red Indian versus the brown Indian versus the freedmen, and the freedmen are those Indians that look black. And now the red and the brown just got together because the federal government gave them some money to kick out the freedmen Indians who have been there for over 100 years as Indians. But now they over several million dollars, they're going to want to kick them out. So that's another white privilege move in that the Indians Native Americans, and they're not indigenous people because the African was already indigenous here, that they actually sought to be white Europeans. And that the Dawes Commission, D-A-W-E-S, Dawes Commission, 95% to 98% of all European whites who claim to be Indian paid $5, which is $100 in today's terms, to be added to the roster of the five civilized tribes to get the welfare benefits that were being promised. And then the Dawes tribe was also the African Indian was also included because he was also considered sometimes as property and sometimes considered as freedmen. Because the Florida was the number one state where the Underground Railroad ran to, not to the north, but ran to Florida and Louisiana because that was owned by the French and owned by the Spanish, and therefore that was free territory. And you wouldn't go from Mississippi all the way up to New York to get to Canada and have to deal with all those white people. No, that was when you were to the north, then you snuck from the north over into Canada. But if you're down in Mississippi, you snuck to the further south and got away. Remember, the Louisiana Purchase was Napoleon selling all that land from Louisiana towards Texas to the United States because he was getting his butt kicked by a black dude named Bookman and Toussaint Louverture. These black guys were kicking his butt in Dessalines over in Haiti and caused them to give up that land to America. So, again, we're looking at the white privilege. Then we get to 1968, the year of hate. The Texas and Mississippi and Alabama put a civil rights bill together, and the people who hated black people, the people who hated Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, were added to the bill. So the people who did not help in the civil rights bill because it was only black people being bit by dogs, being hit by billy clubs, they add the so-called Native American who wasn't there, who wasn't fighting, to make sure that he gets money from the civil rights bill. They added the Mexican Americano to the bill. Those people weren't fighting. They weren't there. And the Alaskan way up there wasn't involved, wasn't fighting. And then became white affirmative action, that the people who threw rocks and bottles and cussed and spit at Martin Luther King were added to the Civil Rights Bill, and that's called your European-American white woman. And I always say European-American to neutralize their unity because they're not white. They're more pale pink. Number two, that they're not unified, that they're French, they're German, they're Irish, whatever, and we have to take away their power. That was created by the Ku Klux Klan to call for white unity, that they had to go behind the banner of white. And we need to stop shutting them down and start calling them Europeans, European-Americans, so to break up that ideology that they're unified. So white privilege came with the wars, and all of a sudden the GI Bill, white privilege, because the blacks weren't able to get the homes that the whites were getting. The redlining bill, white privilege, to make sure restrict colored or black people to certain neighborhoods. That's white privilege. White privilege that you have a quota system that you only will let at Wayne State University in 1958, you only let in one black out of 300 people every year. White quota. That the white quota makes sure that you have 298 or 299 that are going to be white, and then later on you have 298. One could be an Asian, one could be colored or black. So that's white affirmative action. So white affirmative action is everything that you see now that protects white. So don't let them play the mind game and do reverse psychology on you. Don't let them play the mind game and do reverse psychology on you. When they talk privilege, you're talking white privilege. When they talk white, when they talk affirmative action, they're talking white affirmative action.
There you go, Doc. He told the story. But we got to stay on this because people need to know. You know, sometimes we have to hammer our brothers and sisters. But hey, you know, let's stay on this.
But the Arabs think they're white. the Arabs are thinking they're white, and that's what's going on at Wayne State. They took Sinai Grace Hospital and made it an Arab Indian hospital. It's no, they're not black.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, I have a little breaking news. We Trenton Bowen is one of Marcus' proteges. He's being recalled. They're trying to protect him because he's an ally of Whirlpool Corporation. But they're going to have a hearing this week on that, and to determine whether he's going to be recalled or not. And that's going to help us with the election to remove Marcus from the mayorship. But look, we ran out of time. I'm out of time. But look, keep up the great work. Love you, and let's make it happen. All right.